Blog Talk Radio.
Another Norm at Night coming to you live from Bowie, Maryland. The big fat left-hander's on the air tonight, and I think we got a show that is going to appeal to the listeners. If you got enough nerve to call the left-hander, it's 347-945-6713. And you'll be on with Norm. It's a free-for-all here. We got no call screener. But I will tell you one thing. The chat room is filling up with guests tonight. But I will tell you one thing. I'm really kind of excited because at 9:15 or thereabouts, we're going to make the connection with a young author. Her name is Adina. She's a young high school student who has cerebral palsy, but she's writing a book, and her book is going to be about her experiences as someone with cerebral palsy in a mainstream school and also in a school like a school that's located in Rockville, Maryland, called the School for Tomorrow. I am especially looking forward to that call. She will actually be the first author that we've ever talked to here on the Norm at Night show. After Adina talks with us, and I don't know, it should be 10 or 12 minutes, whatever time she needs in the segment, we're sure going to give her. But then we're going to talk about guns. Guns are the topic of interest across the country, especially since the Newtown massacre. Just a horrible thing, a horrible, horrible thing that it sure has affected my Second Amendment sensibility. I don't know how to cope with it. But we're going to talk about some of the ideas that come from the president's commission led by Vice President Joe Biden and the recommendations that they brought to the president, which will officially be announced tomorrow. We're going to talk about the increased income disparity, and we're going to talk about some other things such as, what's happened with the income taxes, what's happening with the future of the fiscal cliff negotiations coming up. We're going to talk about just exactly who a representative to the Congress of the United States, whether he be a senator or a representative, just who those people represent. The guest room keeps filling up. I am really excited. We're going to have a big show tonight. There's a lot of activity on my Facebook with some comments that I made about gun control, and we're sure going to talk about that. as part of our discussion. Another thing that bears on the discussion, particularly because of some of the remarks that I may have made on Facebook, I will tell you right now that I went to see Lincoln over the weekend, and it was an astounding movie. Astounding. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I guess I've made that pretty clear. And if you haven't seen it, please go and see it. And if you have seen it like me, like I'm going to, go and see it again. I mean, that is a, if you do it on via tubs of popcorn, that movie is a two-tub movie. I mean, that's the kind of, it's the kind of movie you go get the large tub of popcorn refilled with the free refills, which nobody ever comes up to. It was the fastest, well, essentially with the previews and everything, it was the fastest 3 hours I've ever sat through a movie. It was brilliant. But all you guests out there, if you want to call, and anybody else out there, the number's 437-945-6713. It's 906. And I will say, everyone, when Adina makes her connection, I am going to give her the full, the full stage, if you will. If you want to call in before that, I will actually turn you off until I open the questioning to guests from the audience. If anybody has questions or comments they would like to make from the guest room, in the usual tradition of Norm at Night, just type your questions or your answers into the chat room box, and I will relay them either to Adina when she's here or to the audience in general if you have a comment that you would like to make. Remember, on the Norm at Night Show, we do not use last names, or we try not to. Every once in a while it will slip out, and I'm hoping that I get my West Coast connection a little early so that my de jure or de facto co-host can actually join with me in some of the discussion with Adina when she calls. One thing I wanted to call about, and I know everybody's going to say, this is, you know, kind of a tacky thing for me to say, but I don't care. I read in the, well, I mean, I care that you think that it's tacky, but I read in the Washington Post today that the president of the United States, that's all the states, all 50 of the states, is going to put the District of Columbia taxation without representation license plates on all of the presidential cars. And all I can say is I find that very poor form on the president's part. He's not a resident of the District of Columbia. He's the president of the United States. He wants to put Illinois plates on his car. That's fine and dandy. Just like the congressmen, that is the representatives and senators do. That's okay. The District of Columbia is not a state, nor should it ever be a state. And to imply that they are taxed without representation is to ignore the entire Congress of the United States. Now, if you don't like the fact that the District of Columbia isn't represented in the Congress with a voting member, I understand that. Then let's abolish the district, give the land back to the states, let the people vote in the states that the land is granted back to, declare all the federal property non-taxable by either state, and let the District of Columbia fend for itself. There should be no district. It is absurd to think. I got a call coming in. Hold on. Let me see. Hello? You're on with Norm.
Just tuning in for the author.
Okay. Will the author be here in a few minutes? You can listen on the phone or listen on off your computer. Glad to have you here.
What are we talking about?
Well, right now, actually, we're talking about whether or not the President of the United States should put D.C. taxation without representation license plates on the presidential vehicles. So what do you think of that?
Who cares?
Well, I care because he is the President of the United States. And the District of Columbia is not a state. They are represented in the Congress.
They don't have a voting member of Congress.
The entire 435 voting members of the Congress look out for the affairs of the District of Columbia. Now, if the District of Columbia wants to dissolve itself and go back to the states that it came from and be represented by those senators and representatives, that's perfectly fine. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have the millions of people in Maryland represented by the same number of senators as 400,000 people in the District of Columbia. Why shouldn't New York secede from New York State and have its own senators and representatives? Why shouldn't Atlanta secede from Georgia and have its own representatives?
The real question is if the president is even a resident of the District of Columbia.
That's a very interesting question, and whether or not he can put, but I'm not sure I appreciate the president's I don't know if I'd want him for my constitutional law professor. I'm just not sure.
The president does not pay taxes, correct?
The president absolutely pays taxes.
Oh.
The only people, in the military, if you're in a war zone, you don't pay taxes. Most military people make their permanent residency, which they're allowed to do, in a state that doesn't have income tax, Florida, Alaska, Texas. They register their cars in those states, too. And that's absolutely allowable under sailors and soldiers.
Speaking of taxes, do you know that professional athletes have to pay taxes to every state that they play in?
I'm not 100% sure that that's true, but if you say so, I'll tentatively take your word for it. It is my understanding that any resident of the United States only pays income tax to the state of residence, the state that he's actually being paid from.
I think when I lived in Maryland, I paid Maryland state taxes.
Are you a professional athlete?
No, but it doesn't matter. It's your employment.
That's right. But when I lived in Virginia, your employer is supposed to pay your state income taxes to the state of residence, not to the state of employment. And in fact, I got in a big mess in Virginia because they goofed. Because I, the place that I worked, I was the only resident of Maryland. And I actually paid all of my, federal or state income taxes to Virginia when actually I owed them to Maryland. Hold on one second. You're on with Norm at Night.
This is Adina.
Hi, Adina, and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I'm sorry?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. But I just remember now, I'm going to talk to Adina for a few minutes out there, and then I'll open it to questions. You're welcome to stay on and listen, 875. So, Adina,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a student currently at School for Tomorrow in Rockville, and I am writing a book about my personal experiences in having cerebral palsy, the history of cerebral palsy, and the background facts.
Okay, and what year are you in?
I'm a freshman in high school.
Okay, and have you been mainstreamed in school for your whole life?
No, I was in mainstream in kindergarten, then I was pulled to middle school, and I still took in the public school. It was it's been so far seventh grade through high school that I'm mainstreamed.
Okay. And at the your book now, is it going to cover your entire school experience or a special part of it?
All of my school experience, most of it.
Okay. And where were you in school before you were at the School for Tomorrow?
I went to Robert Frost Middle School.
You went to where?
Robert Frost Middle School.
Okay, and
went to Matt Cunningham's.
What is it about? We're having a little problem here. Hold on.
Could be the program.
Okay, there we go. So tell us about your book.
Oh, this is Adina. Yeah.
It's going to be I want people to understand how it is living with cerebral palsy, with mild cerebral palsy, and I'm going to be trying to raise money for the United Cerebral Palsy Organization.
I see. Oh, very good. And are you writing this book while you're in school?
Am I what?
I'm sorry, I dropped my microphone. Are you writing this book while you are in school?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. Sounds very interesting. Tell us a little bit about your school and how it allows things like that.
TDP where I'm able to work on separate projects. So I took my first trimester and the second trimester to work on this particular project because it is important to me so people understand.
Okay. What does TDP stand for?
Transdisciplinary. It's where all my core classes but math are mixed, so it would be English, history, and science all.
And are there individual teachers who work together for that?
Yes.
How many different teachers work with you on the production of your book?
Three.
Okay. And so did you bring a little bit of your book along that you might like to share with us?
I was going to read the back cover.
Would you like to do
that? I have it right in front of me.
All right. Well, you have the stage.
Within the cerebral palsy is about all the different types of cerebral palsy and what is associated with the different kinds. It also has some of my personal experience. Cerebral palsy is a movement disorder which affects how a person moves, and it also affects learning. Most people are born with cerebral palsy or get diagnosed with it in their early years of life. Cerebral palsy ranges from mild to severe.
Okay, and how would you classify yours?
Mild.
Mild. Okay, and if you feel comfortable answering the next question, go ahead. Is it a progressive disorder? Is it going to get worse as you get older?
It does not get worse. It would only get better from stretching.
Oh, okay. That's very positive. Generally, when people think of people with cerebral palsy, they think of people in wheelchairs and things. Have you ever been in a wheelchair?
No. Well, I, no.
Okay. Do you walk with crutches?
No.
And do you have to
wear braces? I have a limp on my left side all the time because my legs are different lengths.
Okay. And that stems from the disease, from the disorder?
Well, yes, it is. Well,
okay.
It's from a secondary of the disorder, which I have, which is called scoliosis.
Oh, okay. Now, how far along are you with your book project?
I'm hoping to have a published copy by late March or early April.
April? Okay, very good. Would you like to take some questions from the audience?
Sure.
Okay. 875, do you have anything you'd like to ask?
Sure. I have two questions. I'll start with two questions.
Go ahead. Let her answer one before you. Go ahead.
Of course. Do we know how much the book will cost yet, and or if we can purchase it on Amazon?
I don't know. I'm working with some publishing companies deciding that and who will make the money on it.
Okay.
Either the
Secondly, more to do with the book, or maybe not with the book, but what would you say is the hardest part of living with your mild cerebral palsy?
Well, I think it was harder when I was younger because I couldn't move my arm as much, and but now it's gotten better. So probably just like learning and making sure I have all my work done in time and stuff.
Right. Does it affect both sides of your body, or is it just
Side? Well, I have hemiplegia, meaning it's only half of my body, so it's my left arm and my left leg, but some people, there's different kinds of it. So
okay.
Some people have it in
okay.
both legs or all four limbs, but not very much. So it's just depending.
Sure.
Hold on one second. 278, would you like to ask Adina a question? 278, you're online. Hello, 278-8300. Would you like to ask a question?
I don't have a question. I just want to say I have heard so many wonderful things about the School for Tomorrow, and especially about you, Norm.
Well,
you do. I don't know. It's just wonderful things for the school. And the school is just such a wonderful place for kids.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. But let's talk about Adina tonight. Do you have any questions for her and her book project?
I am so excited about her book project.
Well, I'm very excited to be at a place where students are allowed to do things like that are important to them. And I'm so glad that Adina came here to be with us tonight. Hey, 678, do you have a question for Adina? Oh, wait, that is Adina. I'm sorry. Does anybody else, anybody in the chat room want me to ask Adina something for you? Just type it into.
How long does she think that the project will take for her book?
Adina, did you hear that?
Yeah, I've been working on it since like September, and I hope it's going to be done and like ready to go and get sold by like April.
Wow.
Now,
How many pages is it?
Right now, it's about 27, but I'm still adding some personal experience.
That's a little long for me.
Well, you know, it's a book, not a text message.
Well, I tend to do all my reading through text messaging.
You know what?
Well, I'm excited for the book to come out, so I hope that will it be posted on the School for Tomorrow website or anything?
I think it's been on the School for Tomorrow website for a while now because whatever people are working on in Breakout, it's posted so parents are able to know what other students are working on in the school.
You might want to explain to him a little bit, Adina, what you mean by Breakout TDP.
Okay. There we have is it five TDPs? We have four or five. And Breakout a TDP where we're able to pick whatever projects we want to do. They have to be long term and the teachers have to approve of it and they come around and help you separately. And and people work on really whatever they want there. Like, and I know one person's writing like a short story. One person's like writing a play right now. People just work on like whatever interests them. And,
so can I ask you a question? How again? I'm sorry if I missed it. How again did you say that you chose to write about mood disorders?
Wait, what?
No, she's not.
Oh, no, not mood disorders. Oh, cerebral palsy.
I have cerebral palsy.
Oh, I see. So,
yeah.
Wow.
So I figured it would be a good topic for people to learn about.
To help Adina out here. We have several forms of the, since the cat's out of the bag, yes, I work at the School for Tomorrow. There are several forms of TDP, from the Breakout TDP, which is actually the one that appeals to my sensibilities the most, where it's structured around what the students want to do, but we also have students who want a little more, especially the younger ages, that want a little bit more structure than Breakout provides. And so
you know what I find with this, I am so thrilled to know that this is offered because, I mean, for you to say that this is something that you experience and yet you're researching it, it's so must empower you to have control over knowing more about the issue than if people just told you. I mean, here you are in a situation where you can really research and find out what's the best treatment or what's the best thing that would work for me. I mean, this just doesn't happen in a regular school. You usually would have to go and be told that you're going to do this or this. But this, you're able to actually research it and get empowered by your knowledge of what you learn from this. I mean, it's got to be an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Adina?
Okay.
I understand. Yeah, there's no question. If you drive by the school for tomorrow, which is located on Bestor Street, is that, yeah, that's the name of the street. There's a big sign in front of the school where it says, Reinventing Secondary Education, and I think we're just reinventing how we teach people things, and it's a great experience, and we actually go from our students range in age from about 6th grade through the 12th grade, and we're really happy. I know a lot of people listen to these kind of things and think, oh, my God, how do they get their kids in college? Well, I have you know that our senior class this year is 100% in college, early admission. I admit there's only two of them. So we're brand new. We're only in our third year, but our students are going, and some of our past kids who took a gap year are actually being admitted to colleges like St. Mary's, Oberlin. Gosh, I can't think of them.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I made a Facebook page for my book to help promote it so more people would know about it. So whoever's interested in my book, it's a page called Living with Cerebral Palsy, and it has a picture of my book cover on it. Whoever would like to like it on Facebook.
Okay. So if you want to give a like to Adina's Facebook page, just go on over there and click the like button. And if you wish, make a kind comment.
What's the
I applaud.
Wait, we got another question here. Go ahead.
What's the picture of on the Facebook page?
It says Living with Cerebral Palsy in green letters, and it's a Lego background with my name and a picture of me.
Okay, great.
Are there any other questions out there? Adina's given us a lot of her time, and we have some other things.
I just want to say I applaud you both. And I'm so happy to hear that people are making a difference in the world. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. And thank you, 278, for the kind words. We all appreciate it.
Bless you
both. It will, you know, I don't have commercials or anything to go to, so I can't take a break to go to the next topic. But please, if you have opinions, stay on the line because I can take as many and listen, and as we talk, because we're going to talk about a couple of serious topics that may be of interest to you. One is gun control. What are we going to do about the guns, people?
That's a big one. Unfortunately, I have to sign off, but I'm going to catch you up next Tuesday.
Outstanding. We'll be glad to have you here.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm going to hang up, but I'll keep listening to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Adina. Thank you so much for coming. We really enjoyed your presentation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay. Now, from that uplifting presentation and talk by Adina and her experiences, let's talk about dead first graders.
Oh.
You know what? Those kids didn't even have their second teeth. Did you ever see what a high-powered round does to a body? Imagine a first grader. They're about 3 feet tall, if they're even that tall. One little girl was shot 11 times. Not once, not twice, 11 times. I'm a big Second Amendment guy. I have been for a long time. Hold on a second. Go ahead, 366. You're on with Norm. 366-17, you're on.
Hello.
Hello. Just give me a minute, and I'll be glad to have a conversation with you. I'm a big Second Amendment guy. No question in my life. I may be the only lefty who was for the Second Amendment. However, I have still not recovered. I teach little kids how to play chess on Saturdays and Sundays, Wednesdays. And I see these kids and they smile at me and they still have all their first teeth. I know this is a weird kind of way to think about it, but so did all those first graders. And how about those teachers? How about those teachers? Yeah, there was a woman, a young woman, sitting at home that Friday morning, and she didn't feel so good. And so she was sick, and she called in, and they called another young lady and said, can you come in and substitute today? The substitute is dead. Dead! And, yes, it's upset me more than any of the other massacres. And there have been plenty. So what makes the massacres? It's your turn, people. 366, you can speak. So can you, 875. Just one at a time, please.
Forgive you know, I think you can't take away the fact of the people that caused the massacres.
Okay. So what about?
I mean, there's plenty of law-abiding citizens with guns who are not a problem.
Publicity.
And one can also make the argument if there were people with guns within the school, there would have been a lot less fatalities. We don't know that for a fact, of course, but...
So wait a minute. I respect your opinions or your viewpoints. I respect that, and I understand that, what you're saying. However, are we to turn our schools into armed camps?
I mean, would you, if it stops massacres that are up?
What is school? Is it the battle at the OK Corral?
I mean, why is... I don't know. Why are schools gun-free?
I don't know why. I can remember, people often say, before this happened, I was a very big advocate of the Second Amendment because I'm a believer in the Declaration of Independence. And yes, I believe a time can come when it's time to dissolve the political bonds that bind us to each other and start over. hope that would be peaceable, but it may not be. And I understand all that, but I never had a gun in my house.
I am strongly against guns.
I never, but you know why I didn't have a gun in my house? Because I didn't want my kids to shoot each other with it.
Their kids don't shoot you?
No, not me, each other. Because kids are curious beings. And
I actually know of a family who owned guns, and some of the younger children were playing with it, and one of them shot the other one.
Right. It happens all the time, 366. Do you know what the single largest cause of death among teenagers is? Gunshot wounds.
Really?
That's not a made-up statistic.
I thought it was accidents.
I mean, what I want to know, what I'm really more interested in, is why would we shoot each other like that? What causes it? What causes it? Why did a 19-year-old person just walk into that school and open fire? Hold on, I'm going to bring another caller on from the West Coast. Go ahead, 916. You're on Norbit 9.
Okay, I'm trying to mute my computer. It won't work.
Thank you for bringing a little levity. It's getting hot and heavy
here. The hell with it. I'll just get away from it. I'll go outside.
Oh, the hell with it.
Yeah, that mute button's given me trouble before, but...
Yeah, I'm just thoroughly baffled by... I can't understand. I actually wrote something on Facebook, because the killings, I just might as well say it, the killings in Newtown just made me realize why the Second Amendment was put in the Constitution. And it wasn't so we could go damn hunting. And it wasn't so we could collect antique pistols. It was so the states could resist the federal government. That's exactly why the Second Amendment was put in. And it was so the states could maintain armies, which they did, and which they used to resist the federal government in 1861.
Look, can I stop you for a second?
Yes.
So here's my question. Let's say Barack Obama, with an executive order or however it would possibly happen, bans having guns.
Well, you know
with
what?
And let me say, I haven't asked the question.
Oh, well, I thought you, what if Barack Obama issues an executive order?
Correct.
Well,
yes, would the Second Amendment then protect, could the states keep their guns?
If he issued an executive order banning guns or confiscating guns, in my view, he will have exceeded his authority as President of the United States and would no longer have any legitimacy. It is not the president's position to do that.
Fine. Let's say it's decided however it's supposed to be decided. My question is, what if the states say, like, for instance, Texas? What if Texas says, come and get them?
Then you know what? If the law passed,
you'd have Waco all over again.
Got to go get them.
On a larger scale.
Somebody's got to go get them. And as to the question of secession, and I really want, this is another great question that revolves around this, and I've thought about it a lot. If a state can secede, if the only states that have any right to secede are the original 13. Because they were the original states that came together to form the Union. Every other state was not free and independent ever in its existence, including Texas, or they might have more argument than some others. All of them were annexed or acquired or stolen, however you want to look at it, territory of the United States of America. They asked the Congress to be admitted as states. They don't have any right to leave. They asked to come in as a state. The only thing they have the right to is to not be a state. And in that case, they would revert to federal ownership. To me, that's pretty clear. So, what could we do? Well, we could abolish the whole union, have a constitutional convention, turn the whole thing off, and start over. We could do that. Would that be allowed? Probably not. Although it should be. But here's the president. I'm getting off in deep philosophical areas, and I'm really sorry about that. A couple of things. The president, it is at least as reported in tonight's Washington Post, or the latest online edition of the Washington Post, the president's going to present to Congress a three-point plan. An assault weapons ban, magazine limits, and the one thing that I have the most problem with, universal background checks.
Why can't we just have rubber bullets? That would solve a lot of problems.
Well, who out there has ever seen Bowling for Columbine?
Oh, Michael Moore, geez.
Oh, you don't like Mike?
He's okay, but he might as well be, that's like Sean Hannity making a movie.
Oh, now, wait a minute. They're not even in the same ballpark.
I agree, they're in their own ballpark with their own opinionated ideas.
No. Michael Moore at least backs up what he says.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, I recognize this number now. Welcome to the Norm at Night Show. 875, you still with us?
Yes.
366, you still with us?
Yes.
What happened to 916? Are you back?
I'm back because you muted me.
Oh, sorry, that was an accident, I swear. Hey, anybody in the guest room, and I've had more guests tonight than I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was the Adina Fan Club. That was really fun, bringing that student on and interviewing her about her book project. I really enjoyed that. Hope you got to hear some of that, 916.
Oh, just a bit, yeah.
It's the universal background check that bother me. You know what nobody ever talks about when they talk about universal background checks? What are they checking for?
Oh, well, that will be interesting, what the criterion is for a person who is unable, who we're going to restrict. Now
do you think
currently you have to have been convicted of a felony involving firearms.
Okay.
But now, these people are criminals.
None of the Black Panthers had been convicted of, had been convicted of felony. How many do you think would have gotten a firearms permit if they had to apply for them?
Well, they're hard to get anyway. But
I thought they were pretty easy.
They're not hard to get in Virginia.
Depends where you are. If you're in San Francisco, you're never going to get one.
Well, of course not.
Well, God bless. Virginia's a carry state. I went to a Golden Corral one day, and the guy next to me was wearing a gun in his hip. He wasn't a cop. I didn't know how to react.
Yeah, it's somewhat disconcerting. I mean, because you don't see it. I mean, I don't see it around here at all. But
I forget how many carry states there are in the union.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's not concealed. Hey, I got another person coming on.
No, we have a couple local sheriffs or police departments, and they're pretty liberal with, gun permits and concealed carry.
787-4989, what would you like to say?
Hey, Norm, first of all, thanks for giving my phone number away. Second of all, my question is about this universal background check.
I'm sorry about the phone number. I usually don't put the second half, and I didn't do the area code.
My question is what your big hang-up is on the universal background check, because my understanding, and maybe I'm not up to date on it, but that the main point of it is to eliminate this, what they're calling the loophole for the gun shows, where they're having private transactions that don't require background checks. I saw a stat today that in Virginia, 40% of all guns are bought in private shows.
I just want somebody to tell me, what are you checking for?
Aren't they just checking for federal offenses?
Well, maybe we shouldn't let Episcopalians have guns. What are we checking for?
Well, let me rephrase. Let me ask this question. The gun shows that they have where all these guns get sold with little to no background check. You literally hand them $200. They hand you a pistol. Do you have no issue with those whatsoever?
Yeah, they are supposed to do all that stuff. If they aren't doing it, it's illegal. But obviously there's no kind of supervision and no...
And a pistol's actually, it's more criminal in many places to buy a pistol than it is to buy an assault rifle.
My understanding of the law is that you don't have to do a background check in quote-unquote private transactions. And these gun shows are viewed as private transactions.
Yeah.
You own a gun and you sell it to me. That's right. That's a private transaction.
Yeah. See, in California, that's not the process. You have to go to a gun dealer and the transaction takes place there. And
they don't
he charges
have gun
a fee
in California?
For it. No, you cannot. All of the requirements that are necessary in the state apply to a private transaction. That's why you have to go to a gun dealer. And if it's a pistol, you've got to take the safety test, and you've got to do the background check, the whole works. You know.
Wait, 787, you seem to know more about these gun shows than most of us. Don't they have to have a firearms license?
Yes.
Sell weapons at a gun show?
I'm not that knowledgeable about them. I believe that is the case. I think that the reason that these people with firearms licenses go to these shows is because they can unload a lot more of their inventory in a lot shorter period of time because they don't have all these extensive background checks where there's a waiting period.
Okay. I want to know what they check for. Nobody will tell me.
Yeah,
and
well, there's.
I want to limit on what they can check for.
There's two checks. One is at the state level, and one is at the federal level.
And more importantly than that, once you're checked, do they keep the information, or is it thrown away? Yes, he's good.
Well,
find out that I bought the weapon?
Well, you won't be able to buy it until you pass the check.
Well, once I pass the pass.
Again, California takes 10 days.
Okay, so they give me a background check.
Right.
Do they keep that information on file?
They already have that information. What do you think they're using?
I just bought an AK-47.
You won't be able to buy it until the check is comes back.
Okay. What even if I make the purchase? Is it any business of the government to know that I did that?
Well, they're going to tell the dealer not to sell you a weapon. You're ineligible.
Okay, I am eligible. They tell the dealer, yes, he's eligible to purchase a weapon.
Right.
Can they make the dealer tell him whether I did or not?
Okay, so you're talking about telling the federal government if you purchase a weapon.
That I own a weapon, and what kind of weapon it is.
Yeah, no, again, California, the only thing I can tell you is, yes, they do report that for handguns.
Hey Norm, while we were on the phone here, I looked up what this universal background check checks for. And basically what they're saying is that it checks for convicted felons, people convicted of violent domestic crimes, and those determined by courts to be dangerously mentally ill will
right.
be prohibited from.
Oh, okay. The first two, that's pretty cut and dry. First two, that's pretty cut and dry. So I guess if you commit a felony, you can never be a hunter. Because you probably can't get a bow either.
Oh, no. You can get that.
You can't vote if you're a felon either, can you?
Yeah, it depends. You can, you know, appeal it, obviously. But generally speaking, felons are ineligible to vote.
And what if you have a presidential pardon?
Well, that would work.
Or what if you're the vice president? I guess you could shoot your friends in the face. But anyway, that's where I get really nervous. I was actually shut down in an open discussion about guns, and I'm not going to say where, because who's to say who's mentally ill?
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. If you're...
What if you're a political protester? That's what they used to do in Russia. Oh, they must be mentally ill. Send them to the psychiatric ward.
Okay. We had an incident when I worked at the newspaper. And there was a psychologist, and he called the manager of, this was our packaging center. And he said to the manager, if so-and-so, my patient, shows up there with a shoebox, call the police. And that's all they had. You know, they said he's probably got a gun in it. So this guy isn't even calling, you know, the police. He's calling where he thought the danger was. And sure enough, that employee was sitting in a supervisor's office with a shoebox on his lap, getting a verbal reprimand.
Oh,
I mean, well, and so they managed to call the guy out of the room, you know, said, you know, the supervisor, and then get the police in there to take care of business. But the way this new thing is going to be, any professional, psychiatrist, psychologist, therapist of whatever, you know, whatever mental institution, they can report you and say that they feel that you are mentally incapable. So that's where it's going to rest,
so,
right there.
I get so nervous about this world now. As soon as anybody presents any kind of nonconformity therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Therapy.
Well, I'll give you another.
There aren't people whose therapy can help.
Yeah, I'll give you another example.
Okay, hold on one second. I just got to say this. In 10 seconds, we won't be live anymore, but we'll still can carry on an internal conversation, and it will be in the recording, so you still will be recorded.
Okay.
For people to listen in the archive.
Now, this came from the DEA and has not been court-tested, but the attorneys out here for the DEA have told all the gun dealers that if a customer comes in and fills out the forms, if that customer has a medicinal marijuana recommendation, they are considered a drug addict.
Oh, Jesus.
So I mean, a lot of people are unaware of that.
I've never been a fan of marijuana, but gosh.
But, yeah, I mean, there's no evidence that marijuana is addictive, for that matter.
So,
people saying,
Constantine, he likes a good Sam Adams. He must be an alcoholic. We can't give him a gun.
Oh, you can get screwed on that, too. If your doctor thinks that you drink excessively, he can call the DMV and have your license pulled.
This has been a great evening on the air, and I really hope you all come back next week. But I actually have to go to work tomorrow and school tomorrow, and so I got to do a little bit of work. I really thank you all for calling and everybody, and thank you, Carl, for coming on. I always like to have my co-host there with me.
Okay.
And for all the fires you flamed on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean.
Christopher Chapman. That was a lot of fun. Christopher Chapman, not the other one. That was a lot of fun, and I loved it. And I shouldn't say fun, because these aren't fun issues. And next week we'll continue the discussion and hopefully move into income disparity. Because if we don't solve some of these problems, maybe there will be blood in the streets, and I'm sure nobody wants that. Until next week, this is Norm signing off from Bowie, Maryland. Thanks again, guys.
Okay, take care, Norm. Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
I'm going to protect the gate from the effects of the erosion. And then just cut out the things that I love in my diet. I'm Margaret Dawson, and this is my brother, Kevin Dawson.
This is Greg Caldwell, and you must find out more about him.
You're finding out the secret. Hey, I need you up here. I want to use a fancy water. I've got 9 grams of protein.
That's pretty tight. Look at me.
And you look here, 9 grams of protein, zero fat. And you can eat pomegranate and peas.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Thank you. Okay. The reason we're calling the show is from the hotel in the meantime.
Right. Let's go.
Working here.
Yeah.
Yes.
trafficker named Harley Romero, a.k.a. Harley Staple, also known as Handsome Harley. Judging from those photos, I'm guessing it's ironic.
That's
a very good idea. Hey, Ryan?
Yes?
Do you have a chance to look at all the next year employees?
That's
some of the puts on most of the stuff. Any drug charges?
No, nothing about
drugs. You didn't see
that.
According to the father, there's no connection to any of his family. So, like I said, you were shot 7 times.
Those were all the same. Yeah, you're going to get a good deal for all of our church. Yeah, I just wanted to ask that you came up with this.
Thank you. Did someone ever mention the name Tony in any of the stories?
Yeah. It looks like it was the golden of the day of the second division of the
Giant
Crow or Sweet Anderson, you know what I mean? Yeah. It is a character that has been around.
Right.
Thank you.
still found a way to make a lot of things in the book. You often never underestimate the skill of a woman on the machine.
We all have to have the other way. It's good to have the way. The chase is only to the top of the beans.
As you get older, there's a greater chance you lose the power to you.
For more of the inside story, visit shingleschoolphoto.com. Shingle is a nationwide 4G network in the U.S. covered from coast to coast. We reach you over 230 million Americans. See for yourself at T-Mobile.com.
Function with your wife. Talk to your doctor about diagnosis. Mm-hmm. probably just don't be enough for size. They don't take that, or they take matrix, but just that it may cause an undue drop in blood pressure. Side effects include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and muscle vision. Your whole long-term injuries is immediate medical help and erection lasting more than 4 hours. Stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away to experience a sudden decrease in loss and vision of hearing. This is the age of taking action. Viagra, talk to your doctor. The things you can't wash, the first of them is the breeze. Because the breeze doesn't just cover up odors, it penetrates deep into the fabrics to eliminate odors and leave a light, fresh scent. Just another way the breeze helps you breathe happy.
Thank you. I'm just, you know, I think you have to go to the college, I'm just, you know, I'm just, you know,